Harriet Rose on FUBAR Radio. With Nozza.
Hiya!
Oh, you're right, guys.
How's it going? We're Kids TV presenters now.
Yes, we are.
Hiya, it's Harriet and
Tom.
We're to teach you the alphabet.
And it is Jason's fourth birthday today.
Happy birthday, Jason!
Seriously, Jason, though, happy birthday.
Who's Jason?
Must be at least one.
I feel like the name Jason is not right for a 4-year-old.
Okay.
Do you know what I mean? Like, you know, names seem old. Like Margaret, you don't expect a 4-year-old to be called Margaret.
Colin,
the 4-year-old.
Come on, Colin.
Come on, Margaret, Colin, and what was the other one you said?
Jason. Big old Jason.
I mean, obviously there are people called Jason who were once children, so.
Yes, we're not insulting you, Jason. Just chill out a bit.
Happy birthday, anyway.
Grow up.
Well, he has, because it's his birthday.
Yeah, well done, Jason. Today's show, what a bloody show.
I know, I'm really excited. We've got Dawn Robinson, formerly of En Vogue, coming on the show.
We sure do.
En Vogue is like one of the best female bands of all time.
En Vogue.
Do you realise that?
I was trying to do an accent. I do realise that, Harriet.
Did you still listen to them when you were younger?
Wasn't really my thing.
Oh, really?
I used to listen to, just different stuff.
Well, you better get to know, my friend. Who else we got on the show, Baby Cakes?
We have Emil, and we also...
Andrea Di Giovanni, who's from Italy. And we're playing out Jake Isaac and Izzy Gibbs, who we had... I had a chat with Jake at Citadel, and Izzy came in the studio last week, and we had a lot of fun. He's a bag of energy. Really, really fun. Why are you not saying any words?
No, I was looking at you.
It's really creepy. You're just sort of looking at me. He's the best co-host sometimes.
He's
just silent but deadly, they call him. Because he kills
energy.
You in silence.
Well, I do. What is this week's last request?
Oh, we haven't done it yet.
Yes, we have.
Have we?
We have indeed. Yeah.
We're going to Stan and Calling tomorrow.
Yes, we bloody are. I'm excited. I've got a bag full of clothes.
Yeah, he's only bought one pair of pants though, haven't you, mate? Oh, we forgot to do that as well. Tom's only bought one pair of pants for the whole of Stan and Calling.
Disclaimer, I have more than one pair of pants.
Just in life or in your bag?
Plot twist, I brought a bunch of pants.
He did text me last night and say, what kind of things do I need to bring? And I was like, nothing, mate. You're staying in a VIP villa. In a yurt.
In a villa.
It's not a villa, it's a yurt.
Yeah. I just meant more like... Was there anything I needed? Like, there's a swimming pool there, and I forgot about that. And you didn't tell me to bring anything for that.
I know, I didn't know there was a swimming pool. All I knew is there's a dog show.
I could have brought Monty, my dog.
I am so excited about the dog show, I can't tell you. Anyway, back to Last Request. I have chosen Love is the Drug by headliner Grace Jones.
Love is the drug.
Here's a little clip. Love is the drug that I'm thinking of. Yeah. And what's yours?
Gary Numan. Gary Numan.
Cars.
Yes.
That's a tune, mate.
I know.
Tune. I think we're head to head on this one because last week you had a huge advantage in that I picked Paris Hilton.
That was a very easy.
But it was actually really close.
It was, because I feel like you were the underdog. You made yourself the underdog.
Yeah, but Twitter was on my side. Like, I won on Twitter, but you won on guests.
Yeah.
Understandably, because true. I think a lot of people don't like Paris Hilton's music.
Milk. Really?
Sounded like I said Paris Hilton's milk. I don't like Paris Hilton's milk, and that's the end of it.
But our last request really does show the kind of standard there is.
I know.
Standard
calling, they should call it. But high standard calling.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah, not a standard calling.
Well, I was working on it as I was saying it.
I was riffing.
No, we're really excited. I can't wait for that. We're going to be heading off tomorrow morning, and we're going to be catching a lot of the artists, including Mr. Motivator, who's going to be there.
Yes.
We're going to be talking to the artists. We're going to be going backstage. We're going to be getting the most hot gossip that you can get.
And we're going to be talking to the punters.
Yeah,
we are.
We're going to run around. We're going to eat some stuff. We're going to drink some stuff.
If you see us, don't be worried to come over and say hello.
Or do, if you sound like that. On the note of just talking about murders a minute ago, because I nearly said this. No, because we did hint on it, and I really want to say this, because I feel compelled to, but you kind of jumped in with the last request.
Go on.
Was that, did you know that Zac Efron is playing the biggest serial killer in America in a film?
Yes, I did. I'm excited to see it.
I'm so excited. What's his name again?
Ted Bundy.
That's going to be sick. But also interesting, because you don't see him playing serious roles very often.
but I feel
unless
like
it's going to be like a weird comedy about Ted Bundy, yeah. Like a frat boy comedy about Ted Bundy would be super creepy.
Because wasn't Ted Bundy referred to being quite good looking?
He was very good looking, and he also murdered a lot of people that were at university, so it would work with the frat boy thing.
Mm, definitely. I mean, like, yeah, I think it's
he was like the good looking teacher, wasn't he?
Yeah. Or Ted Bundy.
Anyway, if you're just joining us, this is a new music show on FUBAR Radio. We're just talking about Ted Bundy, which is he probably liked music.
He probably had a little tap, a tambourine to a
tap, tap, taparoo. Should we play some music, and then when we come back, we're going to do a bit of music news and reviews.
Can we play Dizzy Rascal?
I ain't even going to lie. This is from his brand new album, which I have to suggest that you all go and check out because it's huge. Dizzy Rascal, back to the original Dizzy Rascal. Story about Dizzy Rascal. I once thought I saw him in my village, Snitterfield, in Warwickshire, in driving a Ford KA.
Probably wasn't Dizzy Rascal.
Well, this was 10 years ago, so you never know. So, Dizzy, if you're listening, did you drive through Snitterfield past the village shop? Do let us know if you can. Email us rose@foobarradio.com or tweet at foobarradio.com. If you didn't, you should let us know as well, because, I mean, it's a really serious piece of information. I've been living with this lie for 10 years now. And on that note, I ain't even going to lie. Dizzy Rascal.
Each to their own if you wanna get high. Okay. Gonna get high on my own supply. I can't rely on a guy.
No way.
I don't even wanna pry. I'm a prize at an all time high. Ooh. Bear priors and I provide. Provide the vibe inside. And the vibe is wide. Worldwide, hip dive, where the hell can I hide? They can't deny or divide the cyber. I'm so live and a survivor. Yeah. Rough rider, yeah. East sider, yeah. Spitfire, saliva, ire. You know the runnings. Can't be summoned, I'm slumming. I done roll through the slums in something stunning. Stunted once and the cop keep coming. What are you bunning? Flew to Jamaica, trying to have fun to get a little bit of sun in. Talk to the entrance, trying to get the gun in. Man, I'm so wicked and cunning. If you wanna get by, you better not come shy. You can whinge and cry till your eyes get dry, but it still won't fly. Dirt on the slide, I ain't even gotta try. And when they wanna know why, they need a reply. I ain't even gonna lie. Ting don't suit me. Nah. They can say what they want, but they can't uproot me. I'm on route in a coupe going loopy. And I'm in it for the booty. Whoa. I said I'm in it for the loot. I ain't talking about a groupie. Excuse me, cause I refuse to lose. And these girls are choosy. Susie got a little woozy. Had a little booze and a doobie. Moving unruly. Had a little boogie. Susie's a little too bougie. But she wants to move with the goonies. She don't want a smoothie. Truthy, she don't want to go to the movies. Wanna get a million views on the boobies.
Boy.
Don't get lost in the source. Get caught, of course. Of course, I've mastered the force. Up off the porch, I'm horseless. Off in the Porsche, I'm often soaring abroad. Bopping the board, I'm lord of the world, exploring the shore.
Yeah.
Sure, I'm a baller, yeah. Balling boy, yeah. In the corner. I know what I warn you. If you wanna get by, you better not come shy. You can whinge and cry till your eyes get dry, but it still won't fly. It throw dirt in the slide. I ain't even gotta try. And when they wanna know why, they need a reply. I ain't even gonna lie.
I ain't even gonna lie, that was Dizzy Rascal, brand new album. Go and check it out. You can stream it, you can buy it, you can listen to it,
you can eat it, you can fry it. Dizzy Rascal, ladies and gentlemen, back to his best.
Back to his best indeed. Time for a bit of music news and reviews.
Music news and reviews.
Yeah, there we go. So this week on Music News and Reviews, we're going to be talking about, first up, the BBC have announced a brand new festival that's sort of there to replace Glastonbury. But it's, you know, they do that one big weekend thing.
Yeah.
They're doing that five of those, I think it is. Yeah, five. And they're doing a four-day festival as well. So it's going to be called the Biggest Weekend, and it's going to take place across four sites. That's what it is. It's a four-day festival that's going to take place in four different places. May 25th to 28th.
So it's one day festivals in four different locations. Yeah. See, that's not really taking over Glastonbury, because that's...
No, but it's, the idea is it's replacing, because you know Glastonbury isn't happening.
No, I get that.
And it's going to be big, though. They do book incredible guests.
Yeah, but that, you can't... I don't think you can compare a day festival to a proper festival.
Well, I don't know, because you don't know that it's not going to be 4 days in each place.
Because how will they... Can we get some clarification?
The festival's called The Biggest Weekend. It will take place across four sites for 4 days. So four different places are going to have a four-day festival.
You think?
Yeah.
If it's that, then that's amazing.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
But if it's not that...
Also, stop being negative.
I'm not being negative.
Also...
I want the best for everyone.
Yeah, well, clearly you don't. You just want to sit in your pile of negativity.
Four-day festival.
I'm going to clean up that pile right now. So they've also announced their live lounge for this year. And Jay-Z is going to be doing a live lounge. First time he's done one since 2009. When he did one at Joe Wiley's house.
Ooh.
How cool is that?
That is neato.
Here we go. Abby is currently updating us. We'll come back to you on the BBC. But I think that's amazing. Also, I think it's cool that the BBC goes out and does stuff like that. Because, you know, who doesn't love a festival? Are you actually yawning? Are you joking? Do you want to go home, babe? Shall I just do the show on my own?
I left very early this morning.
Dude, get a life. Get a life. Lana Del Rey tried to use witchcraft on Donald Trump.
We've all tried it.
I mean, are you a witch?
I'm half witch.
I wish I was a witch. I'm currently watching a programme on Netflix called Salem, which is about Salem and the witch trials. It's good. And it is about quite evil witches.
I like witches.
Yeah, so I'm into it. Hocus pocus and all that. But yeah, she sparked speculation when she asked her Twitter followers to gather together mysterious ingredients in a recent interview for NME magazine when quizzed about the hex. She said, yeah, I did. Why not? Look, I do a lot of shit. I'm in line with Yoko Ono and John Lennon and that belief that there's a power to the vibration of thought. Your thoughts are very powerful things. They become words. Words become actions. And actions lead to physical changes. I believe that too.
I didn't expect that from Lana Del Rey.
She's cool, man.
Yeah, but a bit witchy.
She did a gig this week in Brixton as well. She just launched her new album. Launched right into it. And she played a little gig.
Did a witchcraft in the back room.
Mm-hmm.
Cauldron on the Rider.
Yes. And also Tyler Creator has released a new album for which we're going to be playing a song a little bit later. But the interesting thing about it is it's sort of been seen as a coming out album because he references being homosexual or bisexual throughout the album. And he's basically been in trouble a few times over the years because he uses very, very naughty words in regards to sexuality.
Sure.
But he's sort of come out and been like, this is basically why, because I've been closeted as a gay man for a long time.
Okay.
Which is really amazing, I think. Very, 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 very strong, very positive thing to do.
It's nice to see within that genre a lot of artists now feeling comfortable and ready to do that and come out as a big, big deal.
It's crazy when you think, did you know that actually today, and I'd like to say a huge... hurrah, I think that's a correct terminology for this. Today is the anniversary of making gay relations legal in the United Kingdom. I believe it's the United Kingdom. I can get the facts up right now, but it is the day of that.
Hurrah!
How incredible is that? In fact, let me check how many years it's been. I'll tell you, give me 1 second, I'm finding it.
It'll be something scarily low.
Today marks the 50 years, only 50 years, that's crazy. 50 years since the Sexual Offences Act came into law, which partially decriminalised homosexual acts between men in England and Wales and helped give birth to the modern LGBTQ rights movement in England. So it's a good day, it's a celebration day. That's why we've got such an exciting show. We're going to be celebrating.
We're going to have a boogie.
We're going to have a boogie today. So I think it's a good day to celebrate our sexuality and the fluidity of sexuality that now... Because I was talking to someone the other day who's saying their daughter who was like 16 or 17, just sort of aligns with, doesn't align with his sexuality, and is from sort of just like a normal background of, you know, no sort of like, I wouldn't say that the, her parents were exceedingly liberal or bohemian, or I don't know enough about them to say, like, it wasn't like, oh, this is why they've sure. just naturally grown up in a natural environment and decided that they want to be liberal about their sexuality, and they're not gonna, not even that they decided, just that they're not gonna name it, they're not gonna say either way what they are. And I think that's really exciting.
Totally. It's nice that people can feel comfortable enough now just to be like, I am what I am, I'll see what it is.
It's the most exciting thing in the whole world, because I think it's crazy to think 50 years ago it was illegal for men to have sex with each other.
It is crazy.
Like, 50 years seems like nothing, doesn't it?
Well, yeah.
Because you're like, what, 50?
I'm what, 56? So, yeah, when I was six, it came in around, yeah. And I was like, whoa.
Yeah, you were really cognitive at six, weren't you?
I was so cognitive.
You're a very cognitive guy. What's been going on in your week? Have you had a nice week?
Yeah, I've had an all right week. All about growing up. I'm looking forward to going standing calling.
I am.
And just letting loose a bit, having a bit of fun.
So who do you think, out of all of us going to standing calling, is going to be sick first? Not from, like, illness, more from, like, being drunk.
I reckon Reese.
Do you now? That's fighting talk.
Because he's not here.
Because he's not here. I think it could be you.
Why?
Because you sick not just from alcohol, you sick from like eating the wrong foods.
No. No.
You had a kebab and you vomited.
Yes. I know. Well, that's not how it works. I had a kebab.
No. I'm talking about when you came to my house.
That was me just hungover. That was me hungover and I was sick.
Okay. Well, anyway, I still think it's going to be you.
All right. Well, we'll see. We'll let everyone know.
Okay, well.
I reckon it's going to be you.
It could be, but I'm never sick naturally. Like, I have to, if I feel really unwell, then I will go to the loo. But otherwise, I'm not like, I don't wake up and like, oh, I'm going to be sick. Like, it doesn't happen that way for me.
That sounds like it's a challenge for me to get you.
Yeah, please do. Please give it your best shot. Justin Bieber. We've got to talk about this. He's cancelled his tour because he wants to reconnect with his Christian faith, which he's done a couple of times in his career. He's how old? 23 or something? Very, very young guy to have such an intense career. And he's been touring the Purpose album, I think, for 2 years.
Which is crazy.
That's crazy. I was saying the other day, how cool would it be to live on a tour bus if your tour bus was Justin Bieber's? Like, I imagine his tour buses have got, like, dance floors and, like, multiple levels.
Thing is, if for 2 years, you're gonna need that, and you're going to need something that you can feel actually like you're not home, because obviously you're never home, but, like, that normality, it's not normal, obviously, but having that with you the whole time.
No, totally.
Is very much needed.
Also, I think it's interesting with musicians like him, because his main friends must be those people, like his manager, his tour manager, his pastor who goes on tour with him, and the people that go on tour with you, which must be quite strange as well.
Sure, and it must be very daunting picking those people to be around you, because you don't want to just pick yes men or people there for the wrong reasons. You want them for the best impact for you.
That's why I really struggle on FUBAR, because I don't like any of you.
That's fine.
Because, you know what I mean? If I had to spend every day with you, it would be really hard.
Yeah,
and now I'm about to spend 3 full days with you.
Well, for me, it's going to be 4.
Oh, yeah, because you're staying at my house tonight, aren't you?
Yeah, you're going to make bolognese.
Yes, I'm making you bolognese, because that's the kind of house person
yes!
I am. He did do a yippee. I actually laughed at your response to that bolognese.
I was so happy.
Thing. But yeah, I thought that was interesting about Justin Bieber. Good for him cancelling it.
And John Mayer backing him up and coming out and saying, you know, you can't just keep touring like that. If you're not feeling, you know, great and within yourself, it's good to call it a day for that for a while.
It's totally true. And also, if you think back to the situations with other artists in time, an example being Britney Spears, who really pushed herself to the brink of like her happiness, and it was really, really upsetting to see her have to go through that in personal and public life. It's really important that we do this. And obviously, we were going to touch on this anyway, but Chester Bennington of Linkin Park, I am personally completely, completely devastated to hear the news about him, because Linkin Park was a band that really influenced me as a kid. I absolutely listened to the album over and over and over again. Hybrid Theory was like, do you know what I mean?
Sure,
it was the one. And then he released Collision Course with Jay-Z, which I was like, oh my God, how can you fuse rock music and hip hop? But they as a band, they were really influenced by hip-hop, and that you could tell in their music.
Well, they're so, when they came out, they were so different, because they did fuse that, and no one had really done that or done it
well.
Yeah, that's the point, doing it well. And he just had such a talent. And it's so sad to hear that when these things happen, because obviously we look at it and we go, what, you know, how could we have helped? How could we have changed the situation? So that's why we've got to highlight right now that you can find help and you can get the help you need, because there are people around you, even if you don't feel like there are people there that can help you. Mind is a really great charity. If you're struggling, you can go, it's mind.org.uk, and they have a lot of helpful advice, also people you can speak to. And if you feel like you want to maybe give some money or support a charity like that, like Mind is a good one for that. And I just wanted to mention that because I felt so sad about that.
It really, like, because it's kind of our era that, like, it seems to be a lot of people were really hit with that. I mean, because obviously Prince and Bowie were huge, but, like, and that's sort of different causes and whatnot. But, like, a lot of people mourning and really affected by Chester's passing. So, yeah, I mean.
And I think it comes at a time where this has happened so many times with musicians and people who've driven themselves, you know. And the fact that, you know, you look at all these interviews and you think, why couldn't we have, you know, helped him? And you just can't. There's a lot of things that go into it, but it's just incredibly sad. But I think it's a good time to highlight the need for men and women to talk about their mental health and talk about it with their friends.
Well, that's the only good thing that can come out of a thing like this, is people knowing there's ways to go, and it, you know, it highlights all this all over again. That's the only positive that can be taken from that.
And as a guy, how do you feel about talking about mental health? Is it something that you feel more and more like you can talk about with your friends and your family and stuff?
I think, I mean, within my circle of friends, everyone's fairly open. I mean, I can understand in some certain circle groups of friends, they aren't feeling like you can joke around, you know, but they can't talk seriously. I think you always have that kind of friend which you can go to and turn to and tell them everything.
Yeah.
But I think, like, as we grow older, I think more people are getting more aware that they can talk about these things. These things are vital to speak about.
And you can find some, even if you really don't want to talk to a friend, you can find someone.
100%, yeah.
Well, we thought we would play a little bit of Linkin Park now. I think we're going to play Crawling, because it's a song that I've got really great memories of. And this whole album was, you know, Hybrid Theory, which was released in 2000. So 17 years ago.
When I was 40.
Wow. Yes, when you were 40 years old. This is just a great song, and this album is great. I've been re-listening to it this week. What an album. What a musician. Thank you so much to Chester Bennington, to everything you did for the world. And this is Crawling by Linkin Park. massive, massive tune, Crawling, Linkin Park, from their 2000 album. Can you believe that? Hybrid Theory.
Makes you feel old.
Yes, it does. So, this next interview is with a lovely man who could potentially be the nicest man in the music industry, Mr. Jake Isaac. He is signed to Rocket Records, Elton John's label. He's just been on tour with Elton John. We talked a little bit about that, didn't we, at Citadel, Tom?
We did. Well, you did. And he was the loveliest guy.
Isn't he just?
He was.
So, we're going to play a little chat with him now. So, just remember that he's the nicest person in the world and you're probably going to fall in love with him, okay? Bye.
Ladies and gentlemen, you're joining us live backstage. Jake Isaac has just popped off stage and given me a plectrum.
Hello, love.
Hello, babe. He's even got the white towel that happens when you do performances. Can I hold it?
Absolutely.
So you should interview me now because I've got 100%. A plectrum and a white towel.
100%.
How you doing, babes?
I'm great. How was the gig?
Really sweaty. I did a lot of that.
I can't deal with you.
No, your set is more important. Yeah. How was it? What was the crowd like? Is it a
wicked.
Good vibe today?
Wicked,
at
wicked,
Citadel?
Wicked. Absolutely. It's my first Citadel, and we did a cheeky half an hour with a 10-minute changeover, but it was intense. But we started, and literally people were sitting around. There's probably about, I don't know, maybe about 600 people sat down, and then out of nowhere, it was crazy. Like, people started running to the front.
Yes!
And then there's probably about 1,000 people by the time
you
I finished.
Bring that, though, with your Whoop. Vibe. You bring... when I've... Because I saw you last year, we were together at Curious Arts.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And you just brought that, like... You've got this weird thing that, like, sucks people in. It's like a sucker, like an alien sucker that you're like, I'm having ya.
Subliminal
also,
messages.
It's probably your really good voice and talent Whoa. For being a musician. Bow, bow, bow. since I last saw you, you've been on tour with Elton John. How was that?
Incredible.
Your best mate Elton John, sorry, I must say. Your best
easy,
mate
easy,
John.
Steady on.
How was it? How
yeah,
was
it was
that?
Insane. It was insane. We did UK dates, and then we got told Elton wants you to do two more UK dates, which was...
And you were like, no, I'm busy, Elton John.
I said, I need to talk to Harriet.
I got some fubar to do, man.
So we did those, NEC Arena and Leeds Arena. And then after Leeds, it was insane. Like, so I've just walked off stage. I'm dripping the sweat. I'm in a change room.
So you're like this?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Wow. I was topless. So I was just doing it all over.
Oh, yeah.
Easy. I had a knock on the door. And I thought, oh, okay, yeah. It was it. And it opened up. Elton came in with his shiny jacket and was just like, Jake, baby, let's talk. And I was like, oh, sir. I was covering my nipples and everything.
Don't look at my nipples.
I was like, well embarrassed.
I'm so sorry, Elton, my nipples. I'm so sorry.
And he looked at me. He goes, that's all right. That's all right. I was like, all right, sorry, sir.
And good.
He said, you enjoying yourself? I said, yes, sir. He said, cool. I'm going to see you in Germany, yeah? I was like, oh, okay. I'll see you in Berlin, Cologne, Mannheim. I was like, yes, you will, sir. And he added dates in, and that was amazing. Absolutely. It was incredible.
Because the best thing about asking those questions is it's usually like, oh, the manager got in touch. It's like, no, Elton John just came when I had my nipples out, and he said, can you do some gigs with me?
Totally. It was.
And you were like.
Yeah, yeah. Absolutely. But it was. I mean, and it was all like arenas and stadiums, and it was just insane. But I learned a lot. It was a lot of pressure at times. And also when people are there to see such an iconic artist as Elton John, like, you got to go out there and work to even, like, be worth their time.
Did you channel Bad Gal Riri? Were you work?
I got my re on.
No, and I know that that's true because I've seen this guy perform live, and it is re.
No, that was good. It's really good. Really good experience.
And since I last saw you, you've also had a new addition to the family, a little
Baba. Yes, I have a little boy.
So it must be so exciting as a musician to be working on music.
Yeah.
And you've got the inspiration of a little baby in your life now. Yeah. And a lovely wife.
And the sleep deprivation.
Sorry, girls. As we were walking to this interview, some girls started like grabbing and screaming at Jake. I'm not even joking. And he was like, no, they're not. And I was like, yes, they are. And I'm going to have to shield you from them.
I thought we weren't going to talk about that. Okay.
Of course we were.
Actually, it was March. I had a little boy. And then 2 weeks later, we did like maybe a 22-day tour across Europe. And then we came back.
You for that.
And like, whilst we were on that, we got told, oh, yeah, she fancy opened up for Elton John. So we came back, had 3 days off and started the stadium tour. Nuts.
Good story to tell your son, though, right?
Mate, he came to his first gig was at Elton John in Twickenham. He slept through my set, and then I came out afterwards, and he looked miserable. He had some big ear muffs on, and he looked miserable through Sir Elton's set. He's like, I'm not impressed. It's great.
Oh, Elton John who? Elton John who?
Nah, it's amazing. It's been a massive privilege.
What a year for you. And then what's coming up this year? What have you got coming up? Are you in the studio?
So the new album's out. Also, I just did a new EP. I'm releasing a new EP for Spotify called Our Life Sessions. So I basically took four songs off my album, and I did collaborations with Ella Eyre, St. Raymond, Joel Baker and Maverick Sabre.
Amazing.
So that's going to be out at the end of this month. There's like signs around or whatever. So yeah, that'll be out. And then in September, I do the UK dates. I do four UK dates. And I do London Islington Assembly Hall on the 20th of September.
And are you having any days off at all? Do you have time off?
I've got a child in it.
Never is the answer. Jake Isaac, the hardest working man in show business. Steady. Thank you so much for coming to have a chat with us. FUBAR Radio, Citadel Festival. This is Jake Isaac. I'm Harriet Rose and we love each other. Bye.
Don't take me for someone who's never no trouble. I've seen it all before. Please keep all your handouts. I fought through the shadows and I'm better on my own. Someone's gotta walk out ahead before the people can follow on. Oh, oh. Drag me, no, you don't own me. It's a new day, I'm lonely out of breath. Run free, my mother told me. Make my own way, lonely of the brave, lonely of the brave.
Lonely are the brave. Oh, look at him still doing his music while I'm speaking. Jake, shut up. Right, Andrea, how's it going? Now, I'm going to say your name in the most Italian accent I can. Andrea Di Giovanni. Oh, fuck, I just did it right. Andrea Di Giovanni.
Hey.
Yeah, boy.
How are you guys?
How much do I sound Italian then when I said it? Out of 10. 4? Give me
5. Okay.
So, like, not at all, basically. Halfway there. How are you?
Oh, good. It's been amazing lately.
Yeah. So Close to the Dark, it's got a really good reaction on YouTube. I saw it got over 150,000 views.
Yes, that's amazing. Like, it blows my mind all the time because, like, I'm doing everything by myself. It's, like, completely DIY. No management, no label. I'll do everything myself. So when you see that much of a result, it's, like, mind-blowing. Especially because I'm Italian as well. So I'm trying to break a different market and stuff. So I'm like, wow. I'm sitting there, I'm like... is it real? Like, is it really happening?
Oh, that's amazing. Also, it must be quite scary to do it all on your own, right?
It is, but at the same time, I love it because, you know, I hear a lot of friends of mine that maybe have managements, then maybe have labels, and you hear them sort of like, oh, yeah, but I, you know, I'm forced to do this because it's the kind of thing that, you know, I need to do and stuff. And I'm like, no, like, I'm never doing something that I'm not pleased with. And that at least is, a, you know, it's always a risk because not having a lot of, like, you know, connections and links and stuff could be hard. But at the same time, it's a lot of fun, and I get to do myself, and I'm very, very pleased with it. So it's nobody else's but me.
Yeah, that's the kind of thing that people say.
Because you get the full control. Who do you go to when you want opinions on things? Because obviously, like, if you're doing it all yourself, where do you go to get, you know, is this, like, you know, bouncing ideas around?
Yes, no, absolutely. Well, I produce my stuff with a producer which is called Jamie Sellers, and he did stuff with Alicia Dixon, Red, and Pixie Lott. So what I do, I just like create a demo, and then I just go there to him with some reference tracks, and then we create the final track. And then when it's come to feedback, thanks God, I just graduated from BIM, London, and the teachers there are people that actually still work in the industry, and they're like super, super supportive of what we do. So I keep on sending my stuff, and they give me feedback, and it feels really nice because it's sort of like a team. They're not just your teachers, but they're like these people like you doing the job in the industry, so their feedback is very important and real as
that's
well.
Amazing, that's so cool that you can do that, because I guess it's the same if they work in the actual industry as well, they've got some kind of good advice to give you, right?
Absolutely, yeah. And you know, they're also very, you know, truthful in their feedback, like, yeah. They're not gonna say this is amazing if it's really not. And you know, it happened to me sometimes that I would do something and it would be like, but it's always good because I always find myself sort of like trying to reinvent who I am and working harder to find who I am, that's why I'm really pleased with Closer to Dark, because I made such a huge statement being there with my ex-boyfriend and sort of like saying it quite out loud that I'm gay and I'm very proud to be.
Yeah, that's very important. We were just talking, it's been 50 years since the decriminalisation of being gay. So we were talking about that today, and it's a very exciting day to talk about that, I think.
Absolutely. Although there is, you know, yesterday came out the news from Trump, ban of transgender people from the military forces, which still, like, I found it very controversial because America is the country of, you know, RuPaul. I don't know if you heard about him.
Yeah,
You know, I'm a massive fan of him. And, you know, so he's a country that can, you know, have a drag show as a mainstream, you know, channel. And then, you know, you have Trump making these statements, which is really hard. And I think it's really terrible for people like us, you know, like us from the LGBT community to see stuff like this, because, you know, it is changing and we're going towards so much better times, because, like, compared to, you know, my parents, for example, like, it was a whole different game. And today, to be gay, to be out there is so much more comfortable than it used to be. But still, what's going on in Russia, you know, what's going on there in America, there are still a lot of work that needs to be done. But mm-hmm. I think it takes us to do it. Like, we should stop just typing behind a bloody, you know, iPhone or device, whatever it is, and just, you know, go out and say it as it is, because otherwise, who's going to do it? Nobody.
I also think that there's a lot to be said about celebrating rather than fighting so much, as in terms of, obviously we need to fight still, completely 100%, but I think throwing back positivity at such a negative situation is the only way to really combat it. Also, I think the reaction that I've seen, you know, because I have a lot of trans friends, and I have a lot of friends, you know, on Facebook and stuff who have got the same friends and whatever, and everyone is standing up and saying, well, this is awful, like, it's not okay, and no one, and that's nice when you're surrounded. Yeah. You know, you surround yourself with people that think it's bad, you know.
No, exactly. So amazing.
I've not seen one negative thing from someone I know, which, obviously, living in a bubble and all that, but it is nice to see that positive, whoa, hold on, we don't agree with this, supporting trans, you know, because just uniting with the transgender people is the most important thing, I think.
No, absolutely. And I'm totally agreeing with killing with kindness. It's always been the way, and I think it's always been our way of queers. Like, we always kill them with kindness. Like, we always fought that way, the fair way. So, absolutely. And yes, absolutely. You're in London is amazing. Like, when I moved 4 years ago, for me, it was just like heaven. Like, when I walk down the streets and, you know, people just don't, you know, don't care, don't look at you that way, and they just accept you for who you are. Whilst in Italy, still, like, I like to call it, like, acknowledged. like, it's the reality is there, but it's like, if we don't look at it, it's better.
Yeah, I kind think of it, thing. It's a lot more of a positive vibe in London, I think, and I like to keep that up. And also, Stephen Lang, who's up after us, is talking to Peppermint from RuPaul from this last season. Yeah, so you should stay locked in from 6 p.m. after us. But let's get back to Close to the Dark. So you did an acoustic version for So Far Sounds, I saw.
Yes.
I was really interested. It was an amazing performance, but also I was quite interested because the track itself is quite dancey. It's quite it's got quite a heavy beat behind it. Was it difficult to kind of take it from that to an acoustic track?
No, and I tell you why, because actually the acoustic way that you've seen is actually how I started to write them. So they kind of born that way. And then I go to the producers with ideas and I try to sort of like bring them up to the beat, especially with this one. Like, I really wanted to give that Ain't No Mama sort of vibe, like stomach track, you're on the beat, drinking your cocktail and having a party.
Oh, yes.
That kind of thing.
No, you're definitely doing it. But I just really loved, I thought the stripped back one was really cool as well. I really liked it.
Thank you. Yeah, I like it because like also So Far is like such an amazing platform because like you rarely get those gigs when actually you sit there and there is like a bunch of crowd who actually listens to your lyrics.
Yeah.
You know, like when you go to pubs and stuff, we do it ourselves. I do it myself. Like I'm going to like a gig and, you know, in the back or you're queuing at the bar, you tend to talk. And so people don't really listen to it. And then in that kind of situation, it's amazing because everybody's quiet. There's no microphones and stuff. It's just your voice and the instruments and people really get to listen to the lyrics. So what's the meaning behind? Because that's the thing with me. Like I like to do contrasting stuff. Like lyrics are very dark and comes from a very emotional place. And so like the beat is very like, yeah, dancing on the beat.
Yeah. Sorry.
Would you consider, I was going to ask, doing an album or an EP which is much more stripped back and more kind of acoustically?
Maybe. That's the thing about my music at the moment. I'm planning sort of like single after single and I have not really done a precise schedule. And that's what I like because it allows me to be very free with my creativity and not putting myself into a box. And I'm collaborating now with like a rapper and we're putting up this collaboration from like a producer in Italy and me and this guy, this rapper here in London. And then I'm working on another track with other friends. I like to be like very open. And then maybe, yes, when I'm going to have like cool, you know, 7-8 tracks, maybe, yeah, album could be nice, my first album. Looking forward to that kind of day when I'm going to release my 12 track albums out.
And are you allowed to tell us who the rapper is?
It's this guy that is called Dope Boy London.
Oh yeah.
But then he's now rebranding and it's called I Am Questioned.
Oh,
so
amazing.
He's changed and he's amazing.
Can't wait to hear that. When is it going to be out?
We're working on it, so I think it's a matter, because I have AWOL as a distributor, and it takes normal like 4 weeks and stuff, so it could be a matter of like a couple of months, a month and a half.
Ooh, exciting.
Yes.
And obviously you grew up in Italy.
Yes.
What was the music scene like in Italy when you were sort of growing up and decided you wanted to become a musician? What was it like? What were you surrounded with? What are the other musicians like in Italy?
Well, the situation in Italy is quite different from what is here in London. Of course, there is the whole conservatory scene, but that's more sort of like classic orientated. And just about, I think, 5 or 6 years ago, this new conservatory for pop music started off. So I was just doing some like private lessons. It was like my hobby from uni, from high school. And I would just go there, sing a couple of songs and like be happy with my life and everything. Then growing up, I did a TV show in Italy. And that's what I feel is the kind of scene at the moment in Italy. There are so many of them. And the problem is like major labels don't really got the money to invest from zero from somebody. So what they do is they just put them in these TV shows. They do the whole routine thing. And, you know, the first 3 people get the record and then they sell it for 6 months. And then the 6 months after it's somebody else's, which is a different quirk. It's really difficult to be a voice out of the choir. But today I got such an incredible news, which I was like, I gagged. As you know, RuPaul would say, I gagged over it. Because it was like, my PR come back to me and they said, in Italy, and they said, you know, major radio actually liked your track. They didn't find like a schedule for now, but they might push you in August. And I was just like, what?
That's amazing.
So, you know, slowly, it took me four to five years. So, you know, it takes your time, I guess.
It does take time. But that's something that we all, like, it's almost in every career. And I think you forget, like, because in this career, you kind of want it to go from 0 to 100 really quickly. But in all careers, it takes that time. And by the time you get there, you're so much like more developed as a person. And you know, as you say, you're still finding you. So it's kind of exciting that you've still got more to find, you know?
No, absolutely. Absolutely. That's the thing. Like today, you had 2 choices, I think, as a singer or as an artist. You either go for, you know, the X Factor kind of path, which is, you know, it's not bad as a thing. Like, I think it can be dangerous, you know, more years further down the line, like straight away is amazing, but then what happens after, it can be, you know, otherwise, you know, it takes, I read, you know, David Bowie biography, Aretha Franklin, Etta James, like I look into these great personality because I love them, Grace Jones as well, it takes 7 to 9 years because you need to find yourself, you need to prove yourself, and it takes time also to get an audience because, you know, credibility nowadays is tough, like everybody's out there, there is about something like, you know, 3,000 tracks uploaded on BBC Introducing London each day.
Whoa.
Like, it's crazy. When I got told, I was like, oh, fuck. Like, I get it. Like, I get it. I get now why it's very hard to cut through, because it's like, I, you know, I kind of feel sorry for these guys. 3,000 tracks each day, you go crazy.
Yeah, no, that's a lot to do. And I think it's one of those things that you just, exactly as you say, if you want to be a David Bowie, you need to work at it and you need to kind of hold. But also, you're smashing it. Close to the Dark has done really, really well. Since you've moved here to London, is there anything you really miss about Italy, like good pizza or?
Oh, yes. Like, although I love the English culture and everything, and I got really easily used to it, there's nothing like the sun and the food and just, like, the warmth that Italy gives you is, like, it's just different. It's in the culture. It's just, like, it's a whole different thing. But at the same time, I absolutely enjoy being here and, you know, it's a city, you're always up to do something.
Yeah, I'm sorry about the fact that we're constantly cold. It's like the middle of summer and it's the greatest
day. It's amazing.
Day.
Like, my parents are writing me on Facebook. They're like, oh, it's too warm, it's 30 degrees. And I'm like, shut up.
Yeah.
Like, I've got like 20 degrees and I'm like, with my heaters on, it's raining outside in my duvet.
Yeah, you're wearing a leather jacket. I mean, that just proves it's July, nearly August,
exactly.
You're wearing a leather jacket. Sorry about that. But stay with
it's
us.
Okay.
Please stick it out because, you know, we need you.
I will never leave. I love this country so much.
So I think Tom's got a little game that he was going to play with
you. I have. It's basically a spin on the game Shag, Marry, Avoid.
Have you heard of that game before?
No.
Okay, so it's a game that kids used to play, isn't it, when they were younger?
Yes.
Well, anyone plays it. It's like basically you name three people and you either shag, marry, or avoid them.
Oh, okay.
But this is different. This is different.
This is collab, so you just think you're doing a one-off single with someone.
Okay.
Duo, you're doing a whole album with someone. And enjoy, you're just going to go to their gig. So
okay.
I'm going to give you three artists, and you're going to pick one for each of those categories.
Okay, okay.
So Elton John, Kanye, and Taylor Swift.
So who would you collab? Who would you do a duet album with? And who would you just go and see in concert?
Oh, gosh. Because, like, I'm terrible. Like, I really don't like Taylor Swift. Ooh.
Ooh. Like, so none of them.
So you wouldn't really enjoy, but you could just go there and be like...
Eh. Yeah. I'll say I'll go and see at a gig at Taylor Swift.
You can just talk all the way
through
it.
Yeah, you can go and talk all the way through it. There you go.
Yeah, just pop in, just have a drink and say, like, you've been there.
Yeah.
Then I would do collaboration with Kanye.
Yeah.
Because he's a sick producer. Like,
yeah.
No matter what, you know, people are saying about him. And I get it. You know, when you're under that light, the pressure of you is on you is incredible, but as a producer he proved himself. I mean, he's sick tracks.
Yeah,
so.
yeah. And then you do the album with Elton.
I mean, yeah,
of course.
Like, he's
Elton
playing
John.
Piano and me just like singing there,
just dancing around, just
musical
enjoying
babies
yourself.
With Elton John.
Oh yeah, oh my god, I love that. Musical babies, let's make musical babies.
Yeah.
I'm gonna say that to people, that'll freak them out. Should we play a bit of Close to the Dark?
Yes.
Do you mind introducing it for us?
Okay. So now you're going to listen to Close to the Dark.
Woo!
those things we left behind. I've been so hard to heal, the truth so hard to conceal. Yeah, I'm falling tonight, getting close to the dark, craving your time. I am losing your spark, washing away the tears of my heart, bringing you down. Let's go back to the start. Trapped in your love, disguise of my fear of loss. Who am I fighting for? When we like birds, my soul, yeah, I'm falling tonight, getting close to the dark, craving your time. I'm losing your spark, washing away the tears of my heart, bringing you down. Let's go back to.
The month, Izzy Gibbs is here.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm fine, thank you. How are you?
Really good, really good. Really excited to have you in the studio. Thanks so much for being our Artist of the Month and coming in to see us.
Thank you for making me your Artist of the Month.
Well, we're repping you so hard right now. Yin Yang is wicked.
Thank you very much.
Out now, everyone can go and get it. It's got some sick collabs on it.
Yeah.
I want to kick off by just talking a little bit about it, because it's quite a journey of a record. Like, there's a lot of different things going on. You're telling a lot of stories, I feel.
Yeah.
I read recently that you feel like you want to use music to tell your story, and that's why it's kind of your vibe. But I wanted to talk through the track list and see what story you're telling here. Out of the Hood is the first track of the EP. Tell us a bit about where this came from. Is this personal experience? Is this you talking about yourself?
You know what? For Out of the Hood, I wanted to show my supporters that obviously, just like them, no matter what you do, you always go through hardship. And I wanted to also show them that when it comes to being in a circumstance or a situation or whatever where you feel like it's hard to get out of your situation, that there's always, like, not to sound cliche, but there's always like a silver lining. Like, you can always get out of your situation and make it better and find a positive. Because this is what I always say to people when they're going through a hard time. Literally, yeah, this is going to be a weird, I think it's analogy, it's going to be so strange, but it makes sense to me. Basically, right, if you're playing football and you get tackled and you lose the ball, instead of standing there and being like, oh, I've lost the ball, just go get it back. It's about reaction. So with Out of the Hood, it's kind of say, yeah, I've been through all of this, but what I'm doing is positive and I'm trying to get out of my situation that I'm in. All the young G's out there and whatnot, and just anyone in general that's in a situation, they feel like this is hard, I'm going to struggle to get out of this situation or whatnot. Out of the Hood shows you, like, you can put your whatever your talent is and potentially get yourself out of that situation.
That's a very good analogy. I think I'm going to borrow that analogy for the next time I want to sound clever.
Thank you.
Except that I know nothing about football, so everyone's going to be like, why are you talking about football? That's so weird. But it's a really good way to describe it, because there's no point sitting there and going, oh God, I haven't got anything, I'm just going to sit here and talk about how I've done it. And
change then your situation.
Just get up and do it.
Trust me.
Izzy Gibbs right now.
Ooh.
Get up and do it.
So
talk us through the rest of the tracks. So for real, where did this one come from for you?
Do you know what? Literally, for real just came from a bottle of Courvoisier in the studio with Spooksville. And I just started saying it. You know what? With me, I'm such a strange character. Like, I'll just randomly, like, I don't know, like, for example, like, we could just be sitting in a room or whatever, group of people or whatnot, and I'll just randomly scream and just I'll just be gassed. It's like, you know why? Because I just don't like the energy. Like, I hate being around energies that's just like sucking my energy. Like, it's long.
Gotta bring it up.
So with For Real, we was just vibesing in studio, and I was like to Spooks, like, I might just put that in a hook. And then I heard the beat and I was like, see that girl, she looks good for real. I was like, yeah. We put it in there and it worked. It just came together. That literally was just, I just wanted something that would make people just go mad. Because the beat, I feel like, obviously the lyrics are hard or whatnot, but I feel like the beat does a lot for me, like on that tune, which obviously producers need to get their credits. So shout out Spooksville. With that tune, I've actually got a story, a quick one.
Oh, yes,
basically,
please.
I was at a festival, Detonate Festival, and actually one of my good friends, shout out Nav, who's my good friend now, that's the first time I met him, and he's just a safe, genuine guy. But yeah, so I was like to them at Detonate Festival, I was like, I got a brand new song to play you guys, like, I hope you like it, and that, like, this one's crazy, like, I need to see the energy from you guys, etc., as you do. And literally, I'm not joking, there was a girl at the front of the crowd, right? Some light-skinned girl. She was there with her friend. They're standing there, whatever, waiting for the drop. And when the drop came, when the tune dropped, there was a guy standing next to her. She looked at him, yeah? I swear, this is actually the truth.
I just can't tell what's going to happen.
And she looked at the guy, and when the beat dropped, she got that gas. She just punched him straight in his face. I was like, this is sick. This is why, that's why I made the tune. I want to see that, like, that's gas. Like, I don't think nothing's going to beat that right now. But yeah, that happened. She actually just whacked him in the face. I had to stop my set and everything. Like, nah, you can't do that. But inside, I was thinking, rah, that is crazy.
I like that you stopped to say, tell her off, but that you kept it inside, that you were like, but
yeah,
that is,
man, that's some rock star shit.
Because
that's
it's
savage.
A reaction that, like,
that's yes.
You're like the best party guest ever. I need to invite you to my next party so that when it's getting to that point where everyone's like, shall I go home? You just come in and you're like, whoa.
Yeah,
go.
Trust me, I'll turn that shit up.
Yeah, I think trust you would me. Turn up any situation.
Yeah,
even like a tea party.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah, I said the other day I want to make a tune. I made a tune. I was so gassed. It's mad that you said that, because yesterday I was out to my guy. This tune is so mad. Yeah, I reckon it could even turn up a funeral. That's what I said to him. That's
but I
how
think
pumped it is. Whoever would be dead in the coffin, yeah, they just rise out like the Undertaker. Like, yo, this is mad. Hey. Swear.
Oh my god, Izzy Gibbs turning up funerals right now.
Trust me, boss baby.
I feel like maybe Okay is another vibe that you hit, right?
Yeah, do you know what? My mum loves that song. Shout out Mama. Mama! Literally, yeah? You see, Okay, I just thought I need to make something completely different.
Mm-hmm.
Not completely different. I wanted to make something that was out of my comfort zone that people might not necessarily know me for. And it was kind of like a risk. Because like, when you change the tempo that people are used to hearing you on, and
confuses
people. Sonically, it sounds different, whatever. Not a lot of the time, people are like, oh, he's changing his style, it sounds work. Mm. But I say, fuck them people, innit? Because my true supporters, they just like me for me, innit? And they support whatever I do, so shout out them. But with OK, yeah, literally, I was like, I want to do something different. Spooksville again, played that rhythm, and I was like, we made the beat, and I was just like, yeah, I got this, and it just all came to me. Boom.
It sounds like you have a lot of fun at the studio, right?
Yeah, sometimes. Sometimes I get stressed and my big ass bottom lip will just be hanging because I'm so stressed, and I'll just be like, oh, it's not working out today. Do you know how many tunes, yeah, I've made that have came from, I'm going studio with an idea and I'm like, yes, I've got the one. And then I go to do it and it's not the same and it's not what's in my head. And I'm like, nah, aww, this is whack. I'm like, I need to make something else. So then I make something else out of anger and I'm like, oh my days, this is sick. It
That's why it's
it.
Good to have those feelings though, because you can get in and get out and be like, this is the song of my life. And then you're like, actually, I hate that song. I'm going to change it and make it even
Yeah,
like,
trust
different.
Me.
That's wicked though. Chillin' is, I think it's my favourite song.
Swear.
Yeah, I just really like it because it's fun. It's
yeah.
fun, and I obviously love Deneo.
Yeah, Deneo's the guy.
Did you Big get in the Deneo. Studio together?
Nah, do you know what happened? Somehow I got his number on my phone. I think from ages ago, I seen him at a session at Relentless. Gets invited me down. I met Deneo there for the first time, and yeah, he was feeling my stuff and whatnot. So I got his number. Then years on down the line, Maniac, who I've listened to, I wrote my very first 16 to a Maniac beat, literally.
Sick.
He hit me up on Twitter and stuff, we've been talking, we're pretty cool now still, and he sent me the beat, and I thought, yo, this sounds like one of them tunes where it's, you take it a different angle, not necessarily such as aggressive.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, yeah, I want to be cheeky on this one. So I was thinking, what
it's
could
so
I
cheeky.
Do, and I said, Deneo would sound sick on this.
Yeah.
So then I shouted Deneo, I pestered him on WhatsApp, I was like, yo, I've got a tune, like, I need you on it. And at first he was like, oh, I'm not too sure, like, I'm not really trying to take that direction, I'm doing this, I'm doing that. And I was like, you know what, I understand. He was like, send the beat anyway. So I was like, alright, cool, I sent the beat. Within 5 minutes he was like, bro, this is the one. The next day he sent me the hook. No, he sent me the hook. He sent me the hook the next day, and I just went to the studio and patterned it. And then, chilling just came about. And he actually laid down the hook first, and then I wrote the bars because, I wanted to see what he did with it because he's the guy when it comes to...
That guy works fast.
Yeah, trust me. Danae is a beast.
It's big, man. Yeah, you've obviously got other features as well. Big Nasty's on the track, Everything Good.
Beast! Yeah, shout out, bro.
We've had him on the show before. Absolute babe. Obviously, you guys are like signed together, so it's the same.
Yeah, do you know what it is? But it's crazy. I knew him way before I got signed. Like, I met him when I didn't even take music seriously.
Because he's one of your inspirations, right? I read that. He's one of your inspirations.
Yeah, he's a G.
It's a great song.
Trust me.
The whole EP, and then we've got Hit a Raise as well, which is a huge tune.
Shout out Bugsy and Young T.
The whole thing is just like back-to-back bangers.
Thank you. I made it last year as well.
Yeah, and so you've been itching to get this out, right?
Yeah, do you know what it is? I make so much music. Like, since January till now, I've made nearly 100 songs. I swear, I'm not even joking. Me and Cuzzy literally live in the studio.
Do you have any time off, or do you just work all the time?
Like... My time off is when I finish the tune and I listen back to it and I'm like, yeah, this is sick. And then I get back to the job at hand.
Good boy.
Trust me. Hands on.
You've been raised well. Working hard. Hard working. Yeah.
Mama!
So I thought I would play a little game with you because to celebrate the release of Yin Yang.
Oh, okay.
The game is I'm going to... Because you know what yin yang means. Yin and yang, yeah?
Yeah.
It's the Chinese proverb all about contra... I'm actually going to read it to you, the Wikipedia, at what it means. Describe how you seemingly opposite or contrary forces may actually be complementary, interconnected and interdependent in the natural world. Light and the dark side coming together.
I know a little secret.
Yes.
I actually put that on Wikipedia.
Yeah! Do you make Wikipedia? Are you Mr. Wikipedia?
I'm joking.
I wish you were. I wish you were one of those guys that just goes and edits stuff on Wikipedia.
I wish that someone would make a wiki about me, but yeah, I'm not that important in it. So
I would if I knew how to do anything on Wikipedia.
Thank you.
In this game, what I'm going to do is say things that have come together in life, and you're going to tell me whether it's yin and yang or whether it's no, thank you. So yes or no.
So yin and yang.
If an example is peanut butter and jelly, right?
I get you. It's opposite, but it works. All right, cool, let's go.
Let's go. So like beaches and sand.
Yeah, yin yang, innit?
Yeah?
Yeah.
I feel a bit uncomfortable about sandy sandwiches, though. You know when you're sat on the beach and it's like everything's sandy.
Yeah, that's that's a bit nice.
What about black and blue? Because everyone says you can't wear
hell
black and
no.
blue.
Hell no.
Yeah.
Hell no, don't do that. No! Nah, that's it. I'm gone. Nah, joking. Nah, don't wear black and blue. What the hell, bruv? Who does that?
This guy, Fashion King.
That's nuts. No way.
What about vodka Red Bull?
I don't like Red Bull, but it works, and it's a yin yang.
Oh, that's good. You're thinking outside yourself there.
Yeah,
that's nice.
Trust me, I'm not selfish at all.
Socks and sandals or sliders?
Socks, yeah, and sliders is calm, isn't it? Yeah, that's yin yang, yeah. But sandals, like the ones where they split your toes in that.
Oi.
Hell no. Listen, that's nuts. You can't do that.
No. I agree. Kim and Kanye. Ooh.
Listen, that's yin yang, isn't it?
Yeah, that's yin yang. I think it is.
Yeah.
What about you?
Yeah.
And Love Island, are you a fan?
Do they go together? Watched one.
High five, neither have I.
Oh, love that.
I'm so glad we don't have to discuss that now.
Yeah.
Pineapples and pizza.
Oh, yes, yin yang, that's my thing. Hey, listen, that is my favourite. That is my favourite pizza.
And then last one, which is, I think, an interesting one because it's something that I think is super yin yang, Little Mix and Stormzy. They obviously got together.
That's
it is, isn't it,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, man, he smacked out that tune. Shout out, bro, man. Big up Storms.
No one would have put those two together, but when it came together...
Yeah, man.
Power's a tune.
100%. Stormzy's my bro still, so big up him.
I know.
He did bits. He did bits on that.
He's the coolest.
Trust me.
Like, he's the best, isn't he?
Yeah.
Well, Izzy Gibbs, you're the best too, and it's been a complete pleasure to have you in the studio.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you for coming through, and thank you for giving us yin yang, because I'm loving it.
Thank you so much.
Did you like it? By the way, you win the game. Even though there's no winners or losers, really, you win.
Yeah, I always win. Even when we take L's, we win, baby!
Izzy Gibbs is a winner. Okay, well, before you go, we play a little game on the show called Desert Island Dicks.
Desert Island Dicks.
And in this game, Izzy Gibbs, I'm sending you to a desert island for the rest of your life.
On your own.
There's no one there, and you're listening to one song. So, Izzy Gibbs, what would be your desert island dick?
There's a song, yeah? Wait there. I hate it when this happens. You know when you know there's a song?
Yeah.
There's actually a song, right, yeah? That I keep hearing. Oh, yeah, Wild Thoughts. That song does my head in now. Do you know how many times I heard that song? I liked it when it first came out,
so
you know?
Big, though.
I thought it was such a great tune. Like, Bryson Tiller, Rihanna, like, you can't go wrong. Do you feel me?
Bad Girl Riri.
Then I've heard it too many times. Yeah. Like, now, like, if I hear someone singing, I'm like, yeah, listen, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, please. No.
Well, Izzy Gibbs, I'm sending you to the desert island with... Wild thoughts.
I got the funniest thing. I swear you would have thought I planned this. There, we got Wilson in the car. Do you remember from Castaway when he's on the desert island? We actually have a Wilson ball in the car.
Oh my God.
I'm not even joking. I swear down. All right, on the Instagram, yeah, at Easy Gibbs, yeah, you go look on my Instagram. We have got Wilson in the car.
Well, you can take him with you too, because I'm feeling nice today.
Wilson!
Izzy Gibbs in the studio, Fubar Radio. Thank you so much for joining us. We're going to play Chillin' Now. Can you introduce it for us?
Hello, this is Izzy Gibbs and you're listening to Fubar Radio. And this is featuring Danao. It's called Chillin'.
Ooh, that was sexy. Ooh,
trust me, you put bass in my voice in that.
Aye.
808s.
Yeah. Izzy. Danao. Mania. Yeah. So the gallop need me like...
The gal em love me like chicken. They hate when I go missing. I hit it on the first night. The second night I'm still hitting. I'm a gentleman, so when I leave the yard I buy food and bring it to the kitchen. After we fuck a munch, it's Netflix and we're chilling. 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 I'm a gentleman, so when I leave the yard I buy food and bring it to the kitchen. After we fuck a munch, it's Netflix and we're chilling.
I deal with classy things, man don't deal with bitches. And that girl's way too peng, now she wanna be my missus. Netflix and we're chilling, bare hugs and kisses. Now she just gas my, she have for tech 9 inches. Ay, now she got man honey, man I lick down this Barbie. Everything lock off like Wally, man I just mash up the nani. This is better than any house party, I give her rounds, I'm Harley. True say I move like a yardie, man I dig down this shawty.
The girl I'm loving like chicken, they hate when I go missing. I hit it on the first night, the second night I'm still hitting. I'm a gentleman, so when I leave the yard I buy food and bring it to the kitchen. After we fuck a munch, it's Netflix and we're chilling. 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 I'm a gentleman, so when I leave the yard I buy food and bring it to the kitchen. After we fuck a munch, it's Netflix and we're chilling.
Big batty gal, back it up. She love it when I grab it up. Insta the way I tap it up. She got bare attitude till I bad it up. Told her I ain't had enough. Tun tun got man in love. Feeling like I have to cuff. Oh shit man, this gal is buff. I'll make sure that she's seasoned right. She ain't a good girl, she love teas and wine. She be singing that she love his. And she don't have a reason why. Go and ask your girl about me. She'll say that he's just fly. No, she don't go church. Still have a screaming Jesus Christ.
The girl I'm loving like chicken. They hate when I go missing. I hit it on the first night. The second night I'm still hitting. I'm a gentleman, so when I leave the yard I buy food and bring it to the kitchen. After we fuck a munch, it's Netflix and we're chilling. 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 I'm a gentleman, so when I leave the yard I buy food and bring it to the kitchen. After we fuck a munch, it's Netflix and we're chilling.
Fubar Radio presents
Payne and Sylvester Incorporated with Michael Payne and Harley Sylvester from Rizzle Kicks.
Are you just missionary? Do you do it? Do you dabble with
pretty
any others?
Pretty much, yeah.
What about the one where you're sat up and then she is sitting on you?
That's too sexy.
Too sexy.
I like sex to be like just routine for me, you know?
You don't want it
just
to be
in and out.
Boring
so
missionaries.
You know me, I'm so missionary. I'm missionary impossible. Come down from the ceiling in a planking position and just insert myself. Try not to come by then.
Dun, just shoots up.
Every Wednesday,
Payne and Sylvester Incorporated with Michael Payne and Harley Sylvester from Rizzle Kicks.
From 4 p.m.
Fubar Radio. We are back. Fubar Radio. You're joining me and Noza, and I'm so excited. Dawn Robinson is in the studio right now.
Yeah.
Oh my God. En Vogue was one of my favourite, like, as a young woman.
Yes.
You inspired me so much.
Oh, that's wonderful. I think we inspired a lot of women. That's so
millions.
Cool. That's so cool.
That must be crazy, right? Do you feel, like, weird about that? Like, when you think about the amount of people that you've connected with?
Yeah. I'd still tell my mom, it's... still, after all these years, blows me away that people know who I am. Because they'll say, Dawn, and I'm like, huh? How do you know me? It's weird. It really is weird. I don't ever get used to it. I'm always grateful. It's so cool. It really
and,
you, is.
And you've had, to, it's such an amazing thing to have such a long career in the music industry as well, to start so young.
Yes, and exactly.
It, we've seen it like in England with like the Spice Girls and other sort of girl bands, but in terms of getting into the music industry when you did, you know, it was a time where it was very different time to what it is now.
Oh my God, yeah. I was just telling someone recently, like 1991, someone came and showed us what the internet was going to be. I was serious. They really literally brought these big, huge, gigantic two pieces and they put them together like a suitcase and said, this is going to be the web. And we're like, okay, great. We got to go. We weren't interested. We didn't care. And now it's like, there's no life without that. Your phone now has the same thing they showed us on those big, huge computers that they had. So, yeah, it was very different. We were handwriting fan letters. And I was like, okay, Cindy, you do those and we're going to eat. Yeah. She would respond to people literally writing letters back to them. That was fan mail back then. Now it's instant. You know, everything's instant. So everything was different in the music industry was as well.
Yeah, in terms of being a woman in the music industry, I wanted to talk a little bit about that because I'm very lucky in terms of the fact that I'm now in a generation where things are, things still need to change for women, but things are drastically changing in terms of the sort of, you know, equal pay. And because we've just had a big thing about that in the UK.
Oh,
with
really?
People. Yeah, just talking about sort of, you know, the discrepancy of how much in the sort of music and the arts industry, how the difference in pay and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But as a woman coming into the music industry with En Vogue and sort of experiencing that whole realm, how was that for you?
It was a little different because we were celebrities, but as far as being, you're saying as far as being equal?
Well, yeah, just because in terms of celebrities now, right. People are talking about if a woman isn't paid as much as a man.
Right.
They're talking about that in the UK at the moment.
Yeah, we didn't talk about that then.
Yeah.
We just didn't. It was, I guess because we were just in it and it was so big, it happened so fast, we were catching up to our success. So we hit the ground running, but it was like catching up to everything. We have hits, and it was so fast that everything took off. We didn't really have a chance to recognize the fact that we weren't getting paid well. We only got two, and this is going to be in my book as well, but we only got paid 2 pennies per record.
Whoa.
So if a CD is $16.99, we got 2 cents of that, which would be 2 pence, I guess? 2 pence?
Yeah,
2 cents in America. And it just blows me away. So we had the success and the fame, but we didn't have the financial to back that up, where the record company had that because of us. He was paid well, or I should say she, because it was Sylvia Roan was the head of the label, but she was, you know, on the higher up, so she got paid well. And then, you know, the producers got paid well, our manager got paid well, and everyone but us.
I think everyone is shocked by that. Like, I'm totally bemused by how that could have occurred, but as I've seen you speak about before, you know, I would not know what to do with a musical contract. I'd have no idea what it meant.
No, and I remember redlining, what they call red lines. So you go through your contract and you underline everything that you don't understand, and you ask questions when you're in the room with the attorney. I asked all the questions, and he explained it, but it's kind of like, I guess it's like being on the job for the first time. You get trained, and within the first month, you're still kind of learning things out. Well, in our case, once you sign that contract on that first day, you may ask questions, but you still have to sign that contract or you're not going to be in the group. And once you sign, you're in it. You can't change it. So it's learning on the job, but once you've signed the contract, you're in. And you've signed for that amount. You didn't realize it was not a good contract, so it's a little too late once you sign it. But you're with the other three girls. You don't want to be left behind because you're asking too many questions. Again, you're a woman. You're asking too much. And after a while, they had to get rid of me because I was the only one who was asking questions. I was trying to figure out, why is it that everyone else is getting paid? I remember we had just left the UK literally for our first time. And we got to the BET. I don't know if you guys have Black Entertainment Television here.
So we can watch from your guys. We see the American, we get all the American TV channels here as well.
Okay, so we had done, for the first time we were on the BET stages, and I asked my manager to come backstage because I had a question for him, and it was just him and I. And I said, why are we not being paid? You know, there's something wrong with this picture. We just came back from the UK. We've sold three point something million, right? And he said, well, it's a pie in the sky. You know, that's kind of like you have to sell millions of records. I said, but we did. And now we're getting ready to start the second album, and you're telling me that, where's the money? I mean, you're getting paid, right? And he's like, well... And it was that.
And
so
it's like
again,
smoke and mirrors. Like,
yes,
crazy.
Very much so. And because I was asking questions, that's why in 97, it was they said either shut up or get out. And I was like, well, damn, I've been here for 8 years now, so I think I'll go off on my own. If I'm going to be broke anyway, why stay where you have to make decisions with three other women that are not going to make decisions? You know, we were great together musically, but not business-wise. So unfortunately, I had to leave. But yeah, women asking questions was a problem then, and it's still... today we've come a long way. We have a long way to go, I guess, right?
Yeah, it's a very nice thing to live in that world, but it's also an important thing that we need to talk about.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And in those 8 years, obviously it was track after track, banger after banger.
Yeah, thank you.
And resounding across the world, because for me that is my music, like R&B and hip hop.
Right,
and
yeah.
It's like my complete passion. It's been that way. I mean, I've got sort of grabbing from different areas, but that's my main passion. And En Vogue was just the epitome.
Yeah, thank you very much. I mean, I still look at it like I was one of four. That is insane to me, because there were so many women in the Bay Area. The Bay Area was Tower of Power. It was Sly and the Family Stone. It was, I want to say, the Pointer Sisters. It was Journey. There were so many groups, rock bands, R&B bands, groups that came from the Bay Area. So to be one of four, and there were so many singers that were local singers that auditioned for the group. It wasn't called En Vogue at first. They didn't have a name, but... It still blows me away. It really does.
And while you were with the girls, you guys had a real fashion vibe about you. Like, the outfits have inspired all of my outfits. Like, maybe not today. I'm wearing a bright pink suit, but it's a bit random.
So we're both wearing pink.
But that's
crazy, right?
That's the influence you've had on me. I knew, Dawn, when I was on the way here, I was like, I can feel it, Dawn. We're going to wear pink. But it was a real strong impact, and you came in with these hard outfits that were just like sex and also like empowerment and everything. Was that something that you were passionate about, or was that something that was brought in by the management and the labels and stuff like that?
Well, actually, we were fortunate, because on the very first album cover, you have to look at it, we were very green. As they say, we had on church suits, you guys. We had on church stuff that your mother would wear to church. It was bad. It was beyond bad. And then as we got more polished and we knew more, we started getting better people coming in. And they were like, oh, no, you have to change your makeup artist because she's totally tired. And we were like, no, we love her. And they're like, yeah, but you have to be, your name is En Vogue for a reason. And we thought, we just named ourselves that without thinking Vogue means fashion. Our first name was For You, the number four and the letter U. And it just didn't work. It wasn't strong enough. So we kept going around with names. And then we checked out the name Vogue. Someone else had already taken from the 20s or 30s. And so it was a license from someone else. And we couldn't get it. So we put N on the front, which became En Vogue. But it put us in a box where now we have to be about fashion. Now we have the pinnacle, and we have to always look the part. You can't come out of your house and just take out the trash and look a mess. You have to always have hair, makeup, and, you know, you have to be fabulous at all times. And like, wow, we kind of put ourselves in the box, but we raise the level, and I see people now, women especially, but even guys are more fashionable. And I think we had a huge influence with that.
Massive.
I can't say that we totally did it ourselves, but I say we totally did it ourselves.
Yeah! I was going to say,
in
hindsight, with the name, obviously putting the pressure on for the fashion side of things, if you could have gone back and still had the success, but be able to call yourself something different so you didn't have to live up to that, would that have been something you'd do?
I think we would still keep the name.
Yeah.
We would still, because... I think we pushed the envelope a little bit.
Sure.
We polished things up for women to look fabulous and be... And you can do the diva thing now without having to pay so much money. We just didn't know it at the time. So it was like, I think Free Your Mind, the budget for that was like $100,000. And that was just wardrobe. That was
crazy.
Not the director. That was not the hair people. You know what I mean? So now we know you scale it way back. You can get great people for way less money. But we were learning as we went along. So I don't think we would change the name.
No, totally. In regards to the videos, do you have a lot of say within the videos, the ideas?
We did. We really did. We had... they would show us different video directors. And whoever had the best treatment, as they call it, for the video, the best storyline that made sense with the video.
Sure.
I see a lot of videos now and I'm just like, okay, they're just funny for no reason. Mm. Everything is a joke now, mm. as opposed to being... to me, Free Your Mind didn't go with the video.
It
didn't go with it. It's like this old man... Well, let me see. We had a runway. Yeah, so it was a fashion show, but it doesn't talk about that in the song.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I know what you mean, but that was the video that was so, like, the fashion was just, it was so sassy.
It was.
Because the thing that I think it did was it gave it, like, oomph, and it was like, listen to what we're saying.
Oh, right.
But it's interesting that you felt like it wasn't the right message, I guess.
It wasn't, but it works. It totally works. I mean, you know, the black girl wrote a song about it, like, here go, free your mind! In the very beginning, it works with her just sitting there and all the guys are around her. You know, the little girl in the front, the sexy little girl, and then they've got a strange monkey, and it's just weird.
yeah.
Right? But
no,
but
actually,
but the runway was really cool. I love the runway theme. That felt free. And if you notice in the video, I'm dancing and running and doing my thing because this was like, we're doing rock and roll. We're doing something that was literally, when we were recording the record, it was in the middle. Free Your Mind was just a song out of nowhere that was just totally different than everything else. And I was like, you guys are going to make us rock out. I'm so excited about that because I was raised... with R&B, but also with rock and roll. There's a picture of me on my Facebook page. I had to be 4 or 5 years old. And my father has the Abbey Road album in the seat with me. So I was raised on it. Yeah. It was real with me. My mom had the R&B Motown sound, and then my father had Led Zeppelin, and he had the Carpenters. He had everything. Well, I know they're not rock and roll, but, you know, he had everything other than R&B. So I was really happy to be raised with that. But, yeah, the video for Free Your Mind, getting back to that, just, it was strange, it was bizarre, but the runway part, literally, I told them I want to jump out into the crowd, and I want you guys to catch me. I was too nervous, so I didn't do it, but that's how great I felt about the song. I thought we were pushing the envelope, and we were going outside of the realm of R&B, and, you know, taking it there. We were going someplace that wasn't expected.
And also, so I think the message as well that you were giving with that song.
Exactly.
Which, for me, that's when I listen to it, I feel like it's
empowering.
And at that time as well, it was an important time to say the things that you said in that song.
Exactly. It's important for people to let people be themselves anyway. And that works for then and it works for now. And it'll work 20 years from now and, you know, 100 years from now. Hopefully people will still be saying, free your mind. Don't get in people's way of who they want to be. You assume certain things about me because you see me. I wear tight clothing, high heel shoes. It doesn't mean I'm a prostitute.
Yeah.
I listen to hip hop or whatever I say about my clothes, and it doesn't mean that I'm out selling dope. You know, because people can assume things based on how they look at someone without knowing. So silly. So, yeah, I think that message will always be around.
And it's resounding. And if you are saying that message, you do need to say it like, free your mind! Like, there's no...
You need to scream it out.
You can't just say, like, free your mind. It's like, it doesn't work.
Free your mind. No, that doesn't work.
No, it's just not quite the right, you know...
Exactly, doesn't get across.
On the same note of the sort of vibe and the fashion and everything, obviously, you guys did the track with Salt and Pepper. And,
yes,
I mean, we had Salt on the show recently, actually.
Yay!
And it's one of my favourite songs of all time.
Wow.
Because it was a fusion of both of you guys, because... huge fans of both.
Right.
And it just looked like the most fun ever.
It was a blast.
And it's a tune as well, because I think they did a lot of songs that were like, hold on, listen, we're saying something, we're making a statement.
Exactly.
And what a man.
Express yourself.
Exactly.
One of the greatest songs. I love that.
Oh. I wanted to know how it was working with those guys.
It was a blast. It was really, it was intimidating at first. I think they were a little put off because they had never had the budget that we allotted, or I should say we required. Well, we had to have Kevin Aquan doing our makeup. He was the best makeup artist at the time. Bless his heart, he's passed on since then, but he was amazing. And they're like, wait a minute, we're not used to having this budget, you know, to pay Kevin Aquan that kind of money. And I think they were a little bit, like, not angry with us, but just kind of peeved, just a little bit like, wait, how do you guys get that budget? But we had to have that in order to be. And I think it took them up to another level. So after that, they were Express Yourself came out, and they were very sexy and sexual and sensual, and more fashionable, you know. So they kind of took we stepped them up as well. But it was fun. It was a blast. I think Sydney was pregnant, so she was a little crampy, a little crabby at the time. But, you know, you understand, she was on set all day long, so she was a trooper.
Yeah, but it looked like, I mean, God, I can't believe that, because it looked like you guys were going ham. Like
hours. We were. And she was right there with us. She didn't complain.
Yeah, well, that's good.
Yeah, exactly.
And then, so obviously, after you left, you worked on so many exciting projects. You've worked with a huge amount of incredible artists. Obviously, you worked a little bit with Dr. Dre,
right?
Lucy Pearl, all the other. What was sort of the standout moment for you across the board in your career that you go, do you know what? That is the thing I'm most proud of.
I think Lucy Pearl. You said that, and I really would say that because. And Vogue was created by someone. It was our producers had a record deal, and I think they had a 5-act deal. And within that 5-act deal, they had a duo, a girl and a guy, hip hop artist, hip hop duo, I should say. And then they had a female artist, R&B singer, and then they had a male. So we were the group out of that, and we were the only ones to succeed. But they put us together. Lucy Pearl. I was getting ready to do a solo deal with RCA Records, and Raphael has known me since I was 16. He used to play in my band when I was a kid. He was a kid. We were both 16. So he would sit on a chair and play bass because he was nervous, and I would turn my back to the audience because I was nervous. What are we doing? Why are we in a band? I don't ever know how we got to this point where we actually sing out in front of everyone with facing people. But and so I signed because I thought this was a better opportunity than going off and doing the deal with RCA. So I went to RCA. I said, look, I have this opportunity. It's a one-off. One album, one off type of situation, and I'm not locked in, but I think this would be better to leave in Vogue, do the group, and then do my solo thing, and in the meantime we can record my album and it'll be done by the time we get out. And he said no, and I said, well, thank you very much, Mr. Jameson. Bob Jameson is his name. I said, no, I'm not going to do that deal, and I'm going to do Lucy Pearl. So I decided to do Lucy Pearl, and that was so liberating. In so many ways, we came up with the name and the sound and the look of Lucy Pearl ourselves. That was our doing, as opposed to En Vogue was put together by people, like I said. So, yeah, it was something that I was very proud of. We created the sound of that. We just got in the studio. It was organic. We did that.
And it was all you, which I think is empowering, isn't it?
Yeah, very much so. And Raphael was very supportive in the studio as far as writing. I was a writer, but not really. Like, some writers grow up, writing poetry and doing that kind of stuff. And I didn't do that. I had to develop the writing skills over time. So he was very like, no, you sound great. I'm going home. I'm like, no, please don't. Please don't leave me, because I wasn't sure. I just wasn't confident in my writing ability. So that album came together really nicely with all three of us. I was going to say all four. All three of us. Ali, Shahid. The point was to have someone from the hip-hop community, which was Tribe Called Quest, with Ali Shahid Muhammad. Raphael was the R&B, and then I was the pop with En Vogue, and Tony with Ali, or Raphael. So, yeah, that really worked.
Three perfect points really of worked. A triangle there.
I thought so. I was really proud of that project, and I really wanted it to succeed, go further than what it did, but...
But it was so fun. Like, don't mess with my man.
Oh, my God.
Huge.
Right. Oh, my gosh. I see that video today, and I'm just like, we were just on our way. It was so close. So close. It was so hot.
Your sass level in that video is so high.
Thank you.
It's so great. Like, I was watching it yesterday. Because, I mean, obviously, the thing is with, like, things like that is you listen to Spotify and you listen to it in your ears. But when I watch, I just want to watch the video sometimes.
I know. It feels good.
So good.
It really does. I know, Harriet. Unfortunately, we've tried over the years to get back to that, because we were just getting started when it plummeted. And I'm like, we're not done, you guys. We're just getting started.
There's still time.
Climbing. Yeah, exactly. We tried. This was literally last month, and there was a conversation, and it didn't go so well. And, you can't just pick up where you left off as if something didn't happen. You have to discuss those things and get past it. And, even if there's apologies, that would be great. But if there's not, at least we talked about it, and you acknowledge what happened. But we can't act like nothing happened, just sweep it under the rug, because it's going to come up again. And it's going to be the wrong place, the wrong time, and that's not going to be pretty. So I was just like, you guys can, you keep reaching out to me. Raphael keeps asking Ali, give Dawn my number, I want to talk to her. But we would never call over the years. A little nervous, I guess. And then we finally got to the place where we had a conversation just last month, like I said, and didn't go well. So... It's probably not meant to be. When you see you have to force something like that, it's not meant.
And I also think that I really, really admire, as a musician, that you just say it. And you say, do you know what?
Thank
this
you.
Is my opinion, like it, all the way from En Vogue to now, yeah. You know, do you know what? I'm not going to let people walk over me. This
absolutely
is how I feel.
Right.
And which in the music industry is not that common.
No, it's not. You're a little scared to say, because you have all your handlers, right? Everybody's telling you not to say this, not to say that, and be quiet. You have to be a good girl. You be pretty and just sing when we tell you to sing and shut up otherwise. And I'm like, I don't do that. I don't do it well. I don't. It's not that I have to hear myself talk all the time, but right is right. And when it's right, you gotta discuss. You have to talk. Otherwise, you feel like you're being trapped into something, and then, like I said, it comes out at the wrong place at the wrong time. And
it's just not healthy, is it?
It's not. I remember doing a station, I think Kiss FM in New York, and we were talking about Sylvia Rhone, and Raphael was sitting there. There were a couple of times actually here in the UK, and he was asking the journalist, you know, you see me and Ali are sitting here, and the lady told him, the journalist said to him, yes, I do, but Dawn has done more. She's done way more, and we love A Tribe Called Quest, and we love Tony, 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 but Dawn has done way more, which is why he wanted me in the group in the first place. So I think there was a lot of jealousy that came out after a while, and I'm like, wow, this is, you know, it became ugly. It became really ugly. So I do say what's on my mind, but it's always for the betterment of the group, and that's what they don't understand. I think women are afraid, or the girls in my group, I have to speak just for the ones that I know, but they were afraid to speak up for the fact that we weren't making the money. And Ali and Raphael were just like, Dawn, could you just be quiet? And I'm like, no. Because, again, I'm going into another situation thinking, I know you lived and learned from En Vogue. You're going to bring your experience into Lucy Pearl. And they didn't want to hear that. So, okay, you just bought a new house, and I don't have that. And I'm not going to speak. I'm not going to not speak up. I see that it's happening again. And unfortunately, I really trusted Raphael because I have known him since I was a kid. So I thought the contract was going to be better. I read it, but I didn't underline, like red line, like I told you, the first contract that I had. So I didn't learn from that lesson, and I trusted him a little too much, and it wasn't the right situation. But Lucy Pearl, again, gave me a name. It put me out there to a younger, new audience that didn't know En Vogue before. So,
who are these people?
Exactly.
I don't know them.
When I got to Paris, they were, Lucy Pearl. We love you, Lucy Pearl. When you come out, and I was like, no. My name is Dawn Robinson, and I did a group called Lucy Pearl, and that was the group. And they're like, oh, so Lucy, when you come out, I'm like, my name is Dawn.
It's Dawn.
But they call me Lucy. I'm like, okay. All right, I'm Lucy.
You're just like, I just can't be bothered to even fight this.
It doesn't, because the language barrier is really hard.
Yes,
so
of course.
I didn't say anymore. I just left it. But you want to call me Lucy, that's fine.
Call me Lucy.
Call me Lucy.
So you're back in the studio right now. I've been seeing, like, following you on Twitter and finding out. And we've got a little tweezer. I've got a tweezer. And that's a separate story. Dawn and I, anyway, I've got a teaser, is what I've got.
Right.
Get up.
A snippet. Yes,
so
exactly.
Do you want to tell us a little bit about this before we play it, or should we play it and then talk about it?
You can play it and talk about it, because I got to hear it live. I've only heard it on my cell phone. I'm like,
oh. Oh, this is exciting then. Let's hear it. Impromptu live.
I sing sometimes. You know?
Trust me, I've not said anything in case you don't do it again.
Right.
But you've sung a couple of times, and I've been like, oh my God, don't say anything in case it never happens again.
No.
So tell us, look, this sounds like a proper vibe.
You know, it's a house song, believe it or not. Well, it may feel that way to many people that are listening. They may know off the bat. But yeah, I've never done house. There was a guy named Nigel Wildman, who was the A&R for Lucy Pearl. When we were here in the UK, he was the A&R guy for Virgin Records. And he oversaw our whole project. And he reached out to me last July. And he said, Dawn, I have the song I think would be perfect for you. And I think you should sing it. And he sent it to me, and I loved it right away. But I was so apprehensive because I haven't been on the scene in a long time. I haven't been in the studio behind a microphone singing in a long time. So I thought, I don't know if I'm going to sound good. I was really nervous. It's funny because people are like, you sing all the time. What do you mean? But when you haven't done, it's like going into a new job, I guess. You know your skills. You know what you're capable of, but you haven't done it in a while. So you just don't know if you're going to be rusty. You got to get the cobwebs out and just get used to it again. And so it took me a while. And finally, I was like, okay, you guys, I'm ready. So it took me until 2 months ago to say I'm ready to go in the studio, and I just recorded it. And so that is going to be released DJs to clubs to radio as well, and I'm just excited. It's like I'm getting good feedback from fans too, which is amazing. It's again, that's part of the apprehensive feeling that I'm getting, is because I'm used to being in a group of some sort. I have two guys or three girls, you know, in Vogue and Lucy Pearl, and now I'm by myself. So yeah, this is what you wanted. This is what's going to happen. You better be ready.
It is a bit scary, isn't it? But I feel the same when I take a week off for a holiday. I come back and I'm like, can I still speak?
Exactly.
But that's usually just because I've drunk too much booze.
Yours is a little different, Harry.
Yeah, it's a little different. And it's also a little less time.
Yeah. Yeah, it's been a while for me. It has. It's been a long time.
Has the studio the studio process changed at all since you've been away?
It hasn't, but because it was on their budget, I didn't have a whole lot of time. I think the time restraint, and then I ended up paying for a few of the days myself. I said, I just need more time. You guys are giving me 4 hours.
Yeah.
And really, they wanted me to do it back to back. So 4 hours one day, 4 hours the next day. And I said, no. I needed at least to be like a Tuesday, a Friday, or Tuesday and a Sunday. I need time in between to live with what I do for those 4 hours. And I got in the studio. The 4 hours took time just to adjust to the microphone again, to adjust to how I sound again.
Sure.
To find my place in the track. The levels that the engineer uses, all that stuff matters. And I needed time. I just needed time. So that first day, it was like, oh my God, I'm a disaster. And he said, no, you're fine. We'll just take our time the next time you come in. And I said, yeah, but I'm on their budget. And that budget kept going in my head, so I felt the pressure of that. So I just decided, I said, you guys, I'm going to pay for a little more time just so I can, because I want to give you my best, and I want to give the fans my best. Otherwise, why are we doing this? Hello? And they said, okay, if you're going to pay for it, you do it. But the guy was so cheap. I shouldn't say cheap. He was just cost effective. He knew what I needed, and he was working with me. And even after the time that I paid for, he was like, no, you got like 3 more hours. Just take your time.
Oh.
Yes, it was like a 9-hour day as opposed to get it done in 4 hours and finish. You know, it was really, I'm glad that he did that because that gave me what you hear now.
But that's where the basis of you being a great musician is, that you're willing to put your own money and your own time in it to go, do you know what? I'm not just going to spit this out and do it in four hours. I'm going to actually take the time and do it.
I need some time, exactly. It's worth it because I want to give, like I said, I got to give my best with whatever I do. Otherwise, it doesn't matter.
Exactly.
And the fans don't. They feel that.
Yeah, they know. They know.
They know when you're on stage and just half-assing it or, sorry.
You can swear.
You can.
Yeah, okay. You can swear. We're naughty.
Let her rip then.
Yeah, we're naughty. Don't worry. You can ass all the way.
I love it.
Ass all the way. Ass. It's ass we say here.
Ass. Yeah, ass. Ass. So I just wanted to, I owe it to myself, to my groups. I always want Cindy, Terry, and Maxine that when they hear me or see me that it's on the best level. We created such class with the group, and I don't ever want that to be like Dawn's pissy drunk sitting. I don't drink anyway, but she's over there doing, you know, I want it to always
be
top of the line. That's how we started. That's how I want my career, my solo career to be as well.
Well, it's definitely sounding like it from that clip. So please send it over when we'll be playing it nonstop.
The whole thing.
Harriet, we can't wait to hear it.
I love you for that. I got it just really quick. I just have to say thank you very much for having me because it means the world. It really does mean a lot that I could have come over here and nobody wanted to talk to me. And I'm like, no one loves me anymore. Or they don't remember. Or they don't care. It happens. It does happen.
So Dawn, I'm officially speechless for you even thanking me because I've been so excited about
thank
this.
You. Really, thank you so much.
No, you a huge, huge impact on my life. So it's a real pleasure to have you here.
Thank you. I feel that sincerely. So thank you very much.
My pleasure. We're going to lower the tone hugely now. So we play a game on this show. It's a bit naughty.
Okay.
It's called Desert Island Dicks.
Desert Island Dicks.
Don't worry, Dawn. It's not what you think.
Uh-oh.
There's no arses involved in this. So what it is the game where I send you to a desert island. Mm-hmm. And on this desert island, I'm really mean. So I'm leaving you with one song to listen to, but it's the worst. It's the song that you think you'd find the most annoying thing to listen to in the world for the rest of your life, over and over and over again.
Oh, my God.
So it can be a song that you once liked. So you once maybe loved this song, but you've heard it so many times you can't bear listening to it. So oh Dawn God. Robinson, what would be your desert island dick?
I would say, oh my gosh,
it's
could
tough.
Be anything.
Yes, anything. It could be absolutely anything.
I've got so many songs that I love, but I know would be so annoying after a while. Oh boy.
So mine is, what's mine? Outcast, Hey Ya, because I DJ and I hear it so much. I'm like, but I love Outcast. They're like one of my favorite bands, but
And it's so much energy.
Yeah.
You know what? I would say Firestarter, Prodigy.
Yeah, no one has ever picked that either.
I gotta say, I just saw the video on TV at the restaurant, but I love it because that's how I start my show. I'm the Firestarter, Twisted Firestarter. Hi, and then my background singer says, she's the Firestarter, Twisted Firestarter. Yeah.
Your English accent is the best thing I've ever heard.
I hope so, because my ex-boyfriend used to say, stop, you're not that. You're so bad with your accent. So
your accent is amazing.
Yay, thank you.
You sound
Harriet.
More English than me.
Yeah, no, I don't. No, but thank you. I love Firestarter. Well, yeah. That, and it would get on my nerves after a while. I'd be like, okay.
Yeah. And you'd be like, that feeling when you're starting a gig every second of every... You're like, no, I just want to relax.
Exactly. Stop. Too much. Yeah.
Well, thank you so much for coming into Foo Bar Radio.
You gotta play Firestarter? You guys don't play that on here, huh?
Oh, no, we won't play that. We're gonna play Free Your Mind because that's the one we've talked about the most, and it's like one of my favourite songs in the whole world.
Yeah,
so
it's a hot video.
Thank you so much, Dawn.
Thank you, Harriet, again.
I don't want to end this.
It's been a pleasure.
Ever.
It has. Thank you so much, both of you.
Well, we're gonna play a little bit of En Vogue, Free Your Mind. Thank you so much, Dawn. Yay. You're amazing.
Pleasure being here.
Please come back forever and ever
and
ever.
I have to say love to the fans too. We love you guys so much.
Love to my fans as well. There's only about
you
three.
No, I'm sure you have many fans.
If any of Dawn's fans want to be my fans, I'd be super pumped.
I'll share them with you, Harriet.
Yeah,
gladly.
You're too nice. Okay, this is Free Your Mind, Dawn. Thank you so much.
Thank you, love.
Prejudice. Wrote a song about it? Like to hear it? Here it go.
Free your mind.
No.
Radio presents
Access All Areas.
Hello, Eureka, how are you?
I am fucking fabulous.
I am a huge Drag Race fan. I'm a gay man in my 30s, of course I am. What did you make of the reunion show? There was obviously a bit of drama surrounding Valentina.
Well, I don't know why they were surprised she was like that during filming too. She's not really been raised around like the whole drag family.
Yeah, because she actually had only been a drag queen for a short while before the show, is that right?
Well, or so she says.
Oh, you think? Okay, girl.
Y'all know I'm a big old fat messy bitch.
And you live for the drama.
Every Thursday.
Access All Areas.
From 6 p.m.
FUBAR Radio.
Wow, 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 wow. Huge thanks to Dawn for that. What a babe. En Vogue. Oh my God, I'm fangirling. Right now in the studio, Emile Jacobs joins us. Babe, how's it going?
Good, good. Getting on with it. How's it going?
We're good, we're good. We just had like a most stressful photo shoot, didn't we? We had 10 seconds to take.
Yeah, exactly.
Don't worry, we'll be able to take some more after. We can have some time.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that.
So, your brand new single, Hero, love it.
Thank you.
I wanted to talk a little. We're going to play actually a game. Should we kick off with a game?
Well, I think we can't kick off
the
game.
I'm not terrible
yet
at games.
Don't worry.
But let's do it. I'm all in.
We'll warm you up with a few questions and then we'll play the game. Yeah? So tell us firstly, who's your hero? In life?
Who is my
obviously
hero?
Obviously, I mean in life. I don't know why.
My mum.
Yeah. I would agree with that. Not your mum, obviously. I don't know your mum, but she's...
You're like, yay!
Yeah, I'm like, I agree. Answer. Your mum is my hero, too. No, tell me a bit about why she's your hero.
She works so hard. Like, and I think that's where it comes from with me, if it wasn't for her working so hard. And, like, the other day I was kind of upset. And, like, I tried to go to someone else, Maybe I'm going to him, but I went to her. And then after that, I've literally felt good ever since. Mm-hmm. So I just felt like, yeah, she can literally change my mood.
That's what mums do, isn't it?
Yeah.
Your mum sounds great. I want to meet your mum. Let's talk a little bit about the track. So P-Money features on it. It's really big. It's a wicked, wicked, vibey sort of thing. How did you guys, because you obviously worked on Money Over Everyone mixtape.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But how did you guys originally sort of meet and get together?
Right, so I used to work at the Heavy Tracker studio.
Oh,
well,
sick.
Well, work with them.
Yeah.
Like, work in... and then I met him there, and then since then we've just clicked, and he's actually like my friend, like he gives me advice and stuff, and yeah.
That's useful, right?
Yeah.
And did you have a lot of fun doing this track together?
Yeah, like we've done like a few tracks, to be honest, and like this track I actually recorded it like a few years ago. So yeah, but it was fun then.
And
I was probably heartbroken.
That's the thing. That's
to be honest,
it seems like a song a little bit about someone that's been a bit naughty. Is it about a person?
No, it's about it's about a guy. I was heartbroken.
Was he meanie? Do we hate him?
Yeah, yeah. Well, okay. I don't want to do that. It's about love.
We love to hate you, whoever you are. We love to hate you. Pigeons and Planes premiered it. I love Pigeons and Planes. It's the best place for me to go and find new music. That must have been a huge excitement for you to get that, because they're also they're in America, so they are broadcasting and they're massive in America.
Like, I know, like that was like a huge achievement, to be honest. It was, and like considering, I mean, I have done other things in my past, like the whole charting and then on P Money's mixtape. But still, like, I have never been premiered, me alone, Emil, by Pigeons and Planes, so yeah.
It's a big deal, I think, when you get support from big...
Yeah, like, so early in my career, that's why I'm kind of like, yeah.
It's a lot of fun. And what's up next? This track's out there, and everyone could go and check out the video as well, which is a really, really, really fun video. Tell me, though, what's coming next? What are you working on right now?
Right, so I've got like a fun summer kind of track, even though it's not the weather shit.
Yeah, but it's about bringing back the summer.
Yeah, I've got like this summer track that's really cool. Like, I wish like I could have sent it to you beforehand.
Yeah, we'll play it another time.
Yeah, it's called Moolah. It's like a girl's track. It's got like a really sort of like upbeat, Afrobeat kind of beat to it. So like, yeah, I'm excited for that one.
Amazing. Are you ready to play your game yet?
I am.
Oh, great. Tom's going to play a game with you that I think is going to be really funny.
Do you want to do a jingle, Harriet?
Yeah, sure.
Go on.
Oh, right. What's the game called again?
It's called Hero to Zero. It's your game.
Hero to Zero. Ba, 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 ba.
There you go.
That's for you, Emil. All for you.
No expenses spared.
Hero to Zero.
Yes.
We're going to read out some taglines. What are the taglines like? Sayings from superheroes, and you have to partner up who the superhero is that said it.
Yeah, this is going to be good. I don't even know. So shall I play as well?
Yeah.
If you can't answer, I'll help you.
Okay. So I can call a friend.
Yeah, call. Yeah. Call. That's yeah. That's call phone a friend.
Yeah, phone a friend.
I'm going to start off with an easy one.
Okay, go on.
To infinity and beyond.
To infinity. Buzz Lightyear.
Yeah.
This time, the suit makes the man. I said a bit of camp then. Oh. But
this time, the what?
The suit makes the man.
The suit makes the super... No, man.
This time, the suit makes the man.
Is it...
Can I phone a friend, phone a friend?
Batman.
No.
Superman.
Iron Man. Iron Man. There we go.
I should have fought harder. Like, you know, that wasn't that hard.
Right, you're only allowed to do two more.
Okay. With great power comes great responsibility.
You know that one, right?
With great power comes
Say
great
it into the mic, Emil.
With great power comes great responsibility.
There she is.
Maybe you should search
Batman.
It on the World Wide Web.
Batman?
Is it
Superman? Batman?
Who's that?
Batman.
That's with, not
with
Batman.
Comes great responsibility.
The Incy
Winty. Come on, like, it's like
it's no, Batman.
I said Spider-Man.
Why did you say Spider-Man?
Yeah, like I said that.
Next.
The last one. Badass, smart ass, great ass.
Oh, I don't know.
It's me. No, it's not.
Oh,
really?
Is it
Deadman?
That is hilarious.
Deadpool.
Deadpool. Yeah.
Yeah. Ooh, Emil.
Deadman.
Emil. Together, we make an amazing team.
Yeah.
Sadly, that's all we've got time for your rubbish game. No, it's actually a really good game.
It would have been great.
Yeah, it's actually no. I loved it actually.
I really enjoyed it.
I'm usually really okay. I weren't that good at this game, but I'm usually worse. So I loved it.
Round of applause for being slightly better than bad.
Yeah.
We're going to play a bit of your track now, but I'm going to just find it because I've not got it on my old... Here we go. It's coming up. So will you introduce it for us, babe? This is featuring P-Money. It's a big tune.
So this is my track, Hero, featuring P-Money. Yeah.
And you're going to come back and play us the new track soon, aren't you?
Yeah.
Yes. Thank you so much, Emil Jacobs. We have loved having you in the studio.
Thank you.
So fry you alive, see how this pans out. I'm in control in general, shush, stand down. I bet you didn't even get that one. Sending texts is about being cool. I'll air you when I see you like I didn't even get that one. Or your friends say,
I never would've left that one.
Or my friends say,
I never would've sexed that one.
Mad, I can't believe I used to worship. I did you wrong, but the hell's perfect. I gotta be in my love, why would I swap for something in need of an MOT and a service, huh?
Mad, I bet that's gonna shut you up. Sick of your bullshit. How's your new girl? My new girl's cool and she'll fuck you up. Man, I used to love you enough. Now my love's too tough. To be honest, I don't love too much. No mucking up, I love my son too much. I don't need to be loved.
All I wanted was a hero. All I needed was a hero. And you could have been my hero. But now you left me with zero. All I wanted was a hero. All I needed was a hero. And you could have been my hero. But now you left me with zero.
Big up to Emil Jacobs. Thank you so much to all of our fabulous guests. What an amazing show.
What a bloody amazing show it's been.
Congratulations again, Tom Nozzer, for winning Last Request.
Wowzers trousers.
How are you feeling about it?
I'm feeling so inspired about choosing my one next week. I'm excited for the Stand and Calling.
Yes, Stand and Calling. Keep up to date. Go to the Twitter at Fubar Radio. We'll be tweeting live this whole weekend because we're going to be Stand and Calling. This is Gary Newman with Cars. Bye, ya.
Bye.